Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Want to stream Cognitive Dissonance to your Android or iPhone? Buy the app. Go to dissonancepod.com and click on the link on the right-hand side of the page. Each purchase helps support the show. Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. This is episode 207, and after our prior episode where we were joined by Seth from The Thinking Atheist, we thought we would take it easy, take a step back, stop thinking, and do a regular
stop
show.
Thinking completely.
It was exhausting.
It was.
The level of, I mean, honestly, Cecil,
sure.
the level of professionalism,
yeah,
and thought,
yeah,
goodwill that man brought to
right.
our show. I mean, I had to spray paint and hose down the whole studio just to get rid of that vibe, man. I had to fucking light whatever the opposite of sage is. Like rosemary. I don't know.
Right, yeah, like a parsley.
It was like
or something.
Fucking baking a turkey in
yeah.
here.
Yeah, I'll tell you, all that thinking last time, I had to just consume so many calories to think. I was just I guess I do that anyway, but I was consuming. Maybe it wasn't more. Maybe it was about the same, actually.
Yeah, I was
going to
say,
it.
I mean, there's a limit.
Right.
Physically,
sure.
The number of calories that a body
it's true.
Can take in a day.
It's true, because there's only a certain amount of food that can get into my mouth,
right.
No matter how fast I stuff it in there.
You're just like consisting entirely on a diet of fucking salted butter and sugar. That's it. You just like roll the butter and more sugar.
Right. And it's on a conveyor belt leading to my face. Yeah.
You melt it down so it goes down smoother. Just having a smoothie of butter.
You're like, that's what you wash your mouth out with after you brush your teeth, you know?
You've got like a jar of Scope sitting in your bathroom and it's just congealed butter.
It's like ghee with sugar in it. Like, that's it.
Gargling it out. It's like, after a nice meal of butter, I like to brush my teeth with more butter.
Let's fuck! I'll fuck anything that moves!
So this first story comes from TheGuardian.com. Try to restrain your shock that it did not actually come from the Raw story, but don't worry. We'll get there.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Orthodox Jewish community turned on victim after sex abuse allegations. No great surprise here. This is what the Jewish community, the Orthodox Jewish community, is good at. Like, they have a certain, like, they've got like a set number of like really awesome things that the Orthodox Jewish community is
right,
good at.
Right.
You know, they're good at turning on sex abuse victims.
Right.
They're awesome at that.
Sure.
They're awesome at curling their sideburns. that's not a skill. That does itself.
They're awesome at really jutty beards, like beards that just
yes.
sort of jut. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. Like, you got, I mean, because, again, you know, that's a certain, there's a certain fucking skill level to having that fucking ski ramp facial hair.
Absolutely. That's,
you could, like, run a matchbox car on that thing.
Hell yeah.
You know, and then they're also, you know, they're just super awesome at, like, coming up with, like, crazy Rube Goldberg-esque ways to avoid working on Saturday.
Sure, yeah.
You know? Because that's, like, a thing within that community, right? Like, they've got to, like, they can't do, like, even the most mundane task, like, the most fucking ordinary, boring, everyday kind of shit. Like, you know, like, they can't, like, press buttons in an elevator or, like, pick up a skillet and make an egg. Like, they can't do shit because it's fucking Saturday. And they're like, I got to rest, so, but the world is still a world, so I have to find a way to trick God, you know? It's like that Sharia lending thing.
Yeah.
Like, the only way to navigate that would be to get some kind of, like, crazy fucking Sabbath eye dog or something.
A Sabbath eye? Yeah, exactly. You need a, but the problem is that I don't know that a dog would be able to reach up that high. What you need is like a Sabbath helper monkey is what you'd need.
It's so hard to find the little black tuxedo to fit the monkey. Because you got to get little tiny tailors to, you know, measure out their itty-bitty inseams.
Well, that's true. Or you could go to, like, a circus resale shop.
They probably like, that's the most pressing thing I've ever heard. A circus resale? Secondhand circus animals? Oh, my God. Like, fuck is this? Oh. They're like, they're no longer good for shooting out of cannons. Like, at some point, the circus master stops. He's like, no. Mm-mm. We just can't load another monkey into that cannon. Sell them. Consignment. We get 15% back. Right. It's fine.
Yeah. Or you come over to somebody's house, and there's just, like, an elephant washing the dishes for them. Where'd you get that?
Oh, yeah, the circus secondhand store. It's fucking amazing. You can think these. You can go to, like, the circus pawn shop and just have fucking sad monkeys, like, doing, like, trapeze tricks, like, looking for their forever home, you know?
The thing is if you put the monkey in the tuxedo, though, then he becomes Jewish. So now you need a smaller monkey. So it'd be like a monkey with a smaller monkey that has to press the buttons then.
But so then I guess what you got to do, though, is you got to start with a huge monkey. So the only way not to end up with an infinite progression of monkeys.
It's like a silverback gorilla. It's like
they got like a fucking orangutan, like just sitting there, like being a fucking lazy orange. But it's got the fucking yarmulke, you know, it's got like the little fucking Jewish hat that it's wearing. It's like, hey, babe, Murray, what are you doing? You know, like it's fucking. And the thing is, too, like how many bagels can they eat? Like, at some point, oy vey, you run out. It's just fucking bagels and lox everywhere you look.
Constant bagel and banana sandwich in their hand. Just can't keep it out of their hand.
This is terrible.
Hey, Murray, can you slice the banana real thin for me? Will you put it on the slicer there and run it real thin and put it on there? Give it a schmear, too. Can you give it a schmear?
They're constantly criticizing you.
Like, you don't make enough money.
What's going on? This has gotten off the rails.
Oh, God.
You walk into the fucking, and like, all you want is a fucking, like, a Sabbath monkey just to help you with the basic fucking everyday tasks of navigating the Sabbath. And it's just fucking busy, like, hurling its feces everywhere. You're like, that's not helping. What are you doing?
Although, a well-aimed feces could press the right elevator button.
It's true, but then would that be working? Like, would God be like, I think that was an intentional feces hurling? No. Down to hell you go.
Well, fuck it. It's a monkey. Who cares? It did it, not you.
Yeah, right. I guess that's true. They don't really, like, do animals in the Jewish tradition, do they have souls?
Yeah, but I don't know that I'm right about this, but I don't think there's a heaven and a hell for Jewish people either.
Well, then what would you worry about breaking the commandments for?
I don't think there is. I don't think there is a Jewish heaven.
I don't think there is either, actually, now that I think about it. But then that does rather beg the question about why would you be so worried about pressing a fucking elevator button?
They have a place called Sheol, which is like a bleak sort of underground place that they go, I guess.
So it's like West Virginia.
Yeah. That's literally anywhere south of here. Yeah.
No, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
No, it's not. That's terrible.
So, I think you're right, though. They do this all the time. And you know, it's crazy that they're that they do this, because these are the people in their community that are the innocents. These are the people who are being victimized by the bad people in your community. And yet you're still willing to turn your back on them because they fucking told somebody about your secret handshake or whatever.
And you would think that the if you're going to ostracize a member of your community, maybe pick the pedophile. You know,
like, you would think there would be an easy target.
You know, it seems like you're sitting around, you're like having your fucking council meeting or, you know, whatever. Yeah. And you're like, well, we got to figure out who we really and I guess I understand that, like, within these crazy insular religious communities, you know, because, I mean, these, like, crazy Orthodox religious communities are, I mean, they're no different in a lot of their structure from, like, the Amish or the Mennonite communities, right? The whole idea is to block off the outside world and create a world within the world, create an environment or a community within the larger community where people have, you know, their own sort of quasi-justice system, their own set of, you know, the council of elders or whatever they fucking call themselves that arbitrate different rules and decide on, you know, who gets to, you know, be with who or, you know. So they have these really insulated religious communities that they don't welcome outsiders and they try to avoid contact with the rest of the world. And so, like, I guess I understand, like, conceptually this idea that, like, we'll take care of our own. But again, if you're gonna, if the decision at some point is to be like, well, fucking, we got to give somebody a hard time.
Yeah.
And you don't choose the pedophile?
Yeah.
So this story comes from the HeraldSun.com. Rabbi Yosef Feldman tells Royal Commission he didn't know it was illegal for adults to touch children's genitals.
Wait, he didn't know?
He didn't know. Yeah, they asked him. He said, counsel assisting the commission, Maria Giras, I'm probably mispronouncing that, asked directly, quote, did you understand that it was against the law for an adult to touch the genitals of a child? I didn't know that as a fact, he said.
he thought it was a figurative law. He's like, it's not a literal law.
I mean, I thought it was more of an opinion.
Yeah, right.
I thought maybe, you know, grown-ups fondling the genitals of children was like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I knew it was kind of frowned upon, like lima beans, you know? But I didn't know it was illegal.
Right.
Oy.
What the fuck? Is this one of those things where they just want to, he just wants to get out of trouble, so he's just saying something? Because you can't, I mean, do we really believe that he doesn't think that that's not a fucking bad thing?
You know, I can't possibly imagine how it's 2015 and any human being who has access to any source of media whatsoever in an industrialized nation is at all laboring under the apprehension that there's possibly a scenario where you're like, well, maybe it could touch little boys a little, you know, like,
maybe just
like
give them a little ball, a little tap once in a while. I don't even know, like, what, and, you know, these are the same people, though, this is the same community, though, that thinks it's okay to suck the penis of an infant.
Right. Because, yeah. Well, that's how you stop the blood after you ritually gore them.
Ugh.
Right?
Right.
You know, I will say, though, that he said he didn't consider child sex abuse to be a common problem. Quote, there are many issues of life and child sexual abuse I didn't believe was very common. Even now, I don't think it's common. It happens. He says, and he says, then this is the part that's really appalling.
Right.
He says, I haven't seen the statistics, but I would believe it. The prevalence of child sexual abuse is about 5 to 10%.
That's fucking 1 in 20 kids at his lowest figure.
That's an appallingly high number.
Is getting fucking anally fisted by an adult.
Right?
Like, and that's cool.
He's just like, yeah, I don't think it's that big a deal. What I'm saying is that on any given school bus, at least 3 of those kids have been abused.
Right. Yeah.
That's what I'm.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and the bus driver might stop on the way to abuse us.
Oh shit!
What kind of world do you live in? This guy is in another world, and this is this is commonplace, though, for this group, because they separate themselves from society in such right. a big way that I feel like very often when they are confronted with society, they're just fucking completely flabbergasted.
Yeah, and, you know, this is the same guy who in 2011, he told his community that they should be dealing with this shit internally. Yeah. Otherwise, they'll seem impotent.
Well, this is another example of we need to deal with this shit internally. And you're like, well, you know, we kind of already fucking pay people to do that work.
Exactly. Yeah, and, the other thing is they're not even dealing with it.
Right.
It's not as if, like, we're covering a story where it's like, man, like, this guy got kicked out of his, you know, house and his wife left him and, you know, turns out he was a pedophile and the community shunned him. And, you know, it's always the other direction. It's, you know, instead what we find is, you know, the kids are shunned. Their families are given shit for reporting things. You know, the excuses are made for the abusers. So it's like they're saying, like, well, we want to deal with this internally, but what we really want to do is not deal with this at all. That's what we think would really right. nail this problem.
Right.
Hey, guys, I've got a great solution. Let's do nothing.
And yet, like I said, you already have people who are handling this, and we already pay them money to do it. And you would right. think that the Jewish people would want a good bargain.
Yeah.
You know? They'd be like, why would I pay for something if someone's already paying for it?
But what the scriptures are anxious to say, it's far more important that we be spiritually strong as a nation than that we be militarily strong. It's not enough to be militarily strong. If we are militarily strong, but we are spiritually weak as a nation, we are going to go down. And that's why it's critical, I believe, to have a commander-in-chief who is a Christian-in-chief first and then is our commander-in-chief.
So this story comes from thinkprogress.org. South Carolina lawmaker asked prospective judges if they believe in God. It actually goes a lot further than that. South Carolina lawmaker, in trying to vet certain judges, included a whole section grilling them about, you know, what religious communities you're part of, whether you agree with, like, homosexual marriage, whether they have unborn rights, like, whether children have unborn rights. I mean, this thing is like, it's a fucking manifesto for the right wing.
No religious test shall ever be required as qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. That is from the fucking Constitution.
Yeah, well,
how
listen.
Can you possibly be a fucking lawmaker and wipe your ass with the Constitution so blatantly?
Well, I guess maybe he was not a constitutional literalist. Maybe he was a constitutional
revisionist,
omissionist.
Omissionist. I like that. Yeah, I don't know how you could. I don't know how you could even look at some of these things. I mean, you read these. You read some of these things. The questions on the survey: what religious or community organizations are you actively involved in, if any? It's like, whoa, bro.
Yeah. Well, how about this one? What is your personal relationship? So, do you believe in the supreme being? One of the questions read, what is the nature of this being? What is your personal relationship to this being? What relevance does this being have on the position of judge? Please be specific. I mean, there is no way you could possibly excuse this as like, well, you know, I'm just doing a little fact finding.
Sure.
This you is know, like just a, poking around yeah. a little bit, trying to see kind of where they stand on the issues.
This is like, just...
You are... So aggressively,
I kind of would forgive it if he was that folksy, though. I mean, I got to admit, you know,
that's how you get away with it.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta be a little down home about it. It also says that another question that they were asked is, in a case where someone was assaulted because he was gay, would you consider it a hate crime and increase the penalty? Wow. So somebody, can you imagine you're applying? Or you're, I shouldn't say applying, but you're being considered to be appointed a judge.
Right, right.
And you get this hate-filled survey. And let's make no mistake, right? Because questions can be hate-filled.
Sure.
Every much as statements can,
every
right?
single Every one of much. These is a very pointed question that
right.
completely reveals the author's stance on the issue.
Right. Oh, are you kidding? Yeah. Absolutely.
Every single one of these.
And so what are you supposed to do with this? You know what I mean? Like, what in the world are you supposed to do with this survey? Like, how are you supposed to fill this thing? I mean, granted, you're in South Carolina, so you're probably just like, yeah, well, Jesus, hey, hey.
No, you're probably and like, then, what's these squiggles?
Let me write this on the back of my Confederate flag. Hang on a minute. It's behind the gun rack of my pick-em-up truck.
Oh, no.
No, you can get away with that because it's South Carolina.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, not North Carolina.
I would never say that about North Carolina.
No, I wouldn't say that until we get home.
Right.
From North Carolina,
right, which is
April.
Where we're going very yeah. soon.
Yeah, we're going to be murdered tight. There. So. I'm just saying.
Do they still lynch folks down there?
Now, the concern, obviously, is if this isn't bottled up in San Francisco, this kind of nonsense, then it's going to be spreading across the entire fruited plain, and you're going to be going to your Burger King in Des Moines, Iowa, and you're going to have a rainbow-colored wrapper for your Whopper.
So this story comes from Al.com. Chaos reigns in Alabama as same-sex couples seek marriage licenses. Probate judges. So the Alabama Supreme Court basically ruled that Alabama could not withhold marriage certificates from same-sex couples, and no end of bullshit basically transpired to the point where certain judges were basically just saying, like, yeah, I'm just not going to do that.
Yeah.
We're just,
it's not just certain judges. A lot of judges decided not to do it. Some chose a stance that would say, I'm not going to give any out until they give me a further clarification on this because I'm not going to do this. And while I don't, I think it's bullshit. I also think, you know, you've got to look at it from their perspective. Judges aren't just, you know, some of these judges. I don't know if these judges in particular are elected. If they're elected officials, then they've certainly got a constituency to worry about when they're right. doing certain things. So there's a level of you know, cover your own ass going on here. So that they're not held accountable later on by a public that will probably vote them out, especially somebody who probably could be pretty liberal in a place where there's not a lot of liberals. But the people that really piss me off, the ones that withhold it for everybody, kind of shitty. The ones that are given out to everybody, good on them. The ones that really piss me off are the ones that are giving them out to heterosexual couples, but gay couples don't get them.
Right.
Those are the shitty ones. Like, those are the ones you're like, okay, asshole, you're a fuckhead.
Well, how about this guy? This is Washington County probate judge Nick Williams said he would not issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. When he was asked whether he was worried about getting sued, he said, quote, I'm not worried about following the U.S. Constitution and the Alabama Constitution, he said.
Well, clearly they're not worried about it in the previous story either, so I guess that's kind of like a South thing.
You're a judge, man!
It's kind of your job.
That's your bag, baby. Like,
it's
like what
it's like
you
a guy
do.
At McDonald's is mad that he's making burgers.
Right.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, that's the thing. It's like you have no choice. We've talked about this before. Like, we've talked about this in the same context as, like, you know, you go to the goddamn drugstore and some asshole behind the counter decides he's not going to sell a woman, you know, Plan B or birth control or, you know, condoms or whatever it is because it's against their, you know, religious liberties. Blah, 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 blah. That's not your fucking choice anymore. You're not acting as you.
Yeah.
You are at work.
Sure.
You punched in. And I don't care if you're a judge or, you know, the clerk behind the counter at the goddamn Walgreens. You wake up on a Saturday, you're not at work, you can be the fucking craziest bigot you want to be. That's your prerogative. But when you show up for work to do a job, and then you just are just like, yeah, but I'm not going to do that part of the job because I don't like it. That doesn't fly. How does that fucking fly? Can you imagine if you didn't have a religious excuse for another component of your job? If you were just like, yeah, I just don't want to do that because
sure.
I'm lazy.
Right, yeah.
I'm just lazy, yeah. And I don't like doing that part of my job, so not going to do that part. You'd just be immediately fired.
People are asking, what's the big deal about sex, okay? What's the big deal? Why is it important to me to note this? Well, out of those who choose to be sexually active at this age, one out of every four One out of every four will contract a sexually transmitted disease.
This is actually a pretty shocking study, Cecil. This came from the Daily Kos. Study finds that HPV vaccine does not lead to teens having more wild and crazy sex. So it turns out that genital wart vaccines don't turn people into fucking whores.
Really?
You know? Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. One would have thought.
Because I've been injecting girls with that forever. Just hoping.
I actually only watch, like, porn videos where they first get an HPV vaccine, because then you know they're going to do the good
they're
stuff.
They're going to do the good
know?
Stuff.
Then you know, like, man, yeah. Oh, you're watching the, like, 5 minutes through, you're like, oh, what am I watching? Oh, yeah, HPV vaccine video. That's right. It's coming now, baby. Oh, yeah.
Two girls, one syringe. Yeah.
You know, like, it's so funny because when this vaccine came out, there was such strong and vocal opposition to the vaccine from the Christian right, because they were saying that, you know, it's just one more barrier being removed, and teenagers are going to, you know, they're going to worry less about contracting STIs as a result. And, you know, and it's like, well, wait a minute. Fucking HPV is like an 80% of the sexually active population. So clearly people aren't that fucking, it's not holding people back.
Right.
No one has ever, I've heard all of the objections to a sexual proposition, but I've never heard, wait a minute, I don't want to get
HPV. Are you vaccinated?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one I've never heard.
Yeah. What's crazy about this is that people think that that somebody out there thinks the moment you get this vaccine, you're going to go sort of buck wild.
Right, right.
When all the normal constraints around sexual activity are still there.
Sure.
It's not like suddenly you'll find more willing partners.
Yeah, right.
You suddenly, your parents will be gone from home so you can have sex or whatever. I remember that was the biggest obstacle when I was a young, very young person was, there's nowhere to do it. Like you just don't have the opportunity to be in a place where you're with your girlfriend on your own for a long enough time for you to figure out how it works. That's what I just remember, that being the very biggest obstacle was, where do we go? Because you don't have your own place. You know, the only place that it worked out was like once we got cars, then there was a possibility, but it's fucking uncomfortable and weird and not useful. And like fucking, you could always, and there's always that opportunity of that cop coming by with the fucking flashlight to tell you to move the fuck along. You know what I mean?
Car sex is a thing of the 50s.
It really is. It
you
really
know,
is.
Honestly, like car sex, like you watch like the fucking old, fucking ye oldie movie where like every car had a fucking Barco lounger couch in
exactly.
it. And that was, you could fucking have a fucking 7-person orgy in a goddamn old Chrysler,
sure, yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But like a
and
modern
your ass
car,
is,
you're like,
your ass cheek wouldn't touch anybody. You know what I mean? Like, you'd be fine.
Yeah.
You'd have your own little fucking tiny little fence around each other.
Having sex in like a modern automobile is fucking horrible.
Yeah, and I drove a Geo, so that shit wasn't happening.
I had a Geo too, man. Like you'd have to fucking date like a midget.
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
Like that's like you can't fucking. I had a Geo Metro, it was so small you couldn't masturbate. Yeah.
That thing. And the thing is, with a Geo Metro, you're doing a lot of masturbation. you get really good at that.
I will say too, like when you're at that age, everybody has fucking shitty cars.
Yeah.
You know, so like everybody's got, and they've got the same shitty car, right? Like everybody has like
a Corolla or whatever. Yeah.
Right. You've got like a Corolla or you've got like a fucking Chevy. Everyone had the same fucking Chevy.
Cavalier.
Cavalier. Thank you. You had a fucking Cavalier or like a Pontiac Sunfire. Like there were only like 7 shitty cars that everybody fucking owned. And they all had captain's chairs and low ceilings.
Yeah.
And they were just like, they were made for fucking anger.
Yeah.
That's it. Because you could fuck anger, but you couldn't fuck your girlfriend. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
They were miserable. Your only opportunity at that age was to go camping.
Right. Camping would work. That's a possibility.
Stinky sex. You know what I mean? It's like camping sex. You're just like, oh, it's camping sex.
Yeah.
I mean, you're still like,
Yeah, it's sex.
Yeah, but at the same time, you're like banging away. You're in the middle of it. And she's like, there's a branch in my back. You're like, shut up. You're ruining the moment.
And like, it was camping sex, but you're still poor.
Yeah.
So like, all your camping gear sucks, which means you're just miserable and uncomfortable.
Yeah, all your camping gear
is kind of damp.
Yeah, all your camping gear sucks. And now it's covered in sexual bodily fluids.
Right? It's horrible.
So yeah, like, or the you know,
like
the
entire interior of your tent is like a dirty marshmallow.
The only other option you had back then was the glorious weekend when your parents or her parents went away. That was the great op. That was like, oh, time for the fucking bang away. And you'd be like banging around her parents' bed and be like, how you like this, Pops? That was the best. But yeah, seriously, though, like. Like as a boy, there's no that this is not anything. And as a girl, I don't see it. It just doesn't make any sense that somebody would say, well, now that I got this vaccine, I'm just going to throw my fucking ankles over my ears.
Yeah, it's just more of that, like that right wing hysteria around sex where it's like if we give them condoms, they'll just fuck everybody.
Yeah.
Like, no, I mean, people really understand that. Like, sex has consequences. Like, all these things do is they make sex safer.
Yeah.
So that when people inevitably engage in sex.
Which they're going to do.
Right. So now all of a sudden it's safer. Like, wouldn't you just be like, oh, no, we made it safer. Fuck. Now they're going to be safe when they're having sex. We really wanted to make sure they fucking impregnate each other like crazy and come down with all the diseases. Go Jesus.
Podcasters. They live in squalor, destitute, and disenfranchised, eking out an existence as best they can in such desolate places as Chicago. In pairs, but otherwise alone, they suffer from hunger and thirst, barely making it day to day on store brand chicken wings and weak domestic beer. But now you can help. For just a few dollars a podcast, pennies a day, you can give them the restaurant-style chicken wings and imported beer that they so desperately need. For less than the price of a cup of coffee, you can make a difference in their lives, allowing them the opportunity to rant unfettered, as nature intended. Please, go to patreon.com/distancepod. Today, make a pledge and help these poor, innocent creatures lead a life worth living.
So this story comes from BuzzFeed. These professors want parents who don't vaccinate to pay a tax. They say parents who refuse to immunize their children should bear the societal cost of outbreaks of preventable diseases. Critics say that that's not practical or fair. So there were two schemes that were outlined in this article, really, two basic schemes. The first is that if you don't vaccinate your kids, you basically just pay a tax, some kind of a tax, some kind of a fee. The alternative was that if you don't vaccinate your kid and, you know, an outbreak is tracked back to you, you pay for the cost of that outbreak.
Oh,
right. Now, the second option, I think, is asinine.
I think so, too, because it's hard to pinpoint. Unless you have, like, a little tiny monkey. Then right. you can like, that's like clearly outbreak. Where like that came from.
Or just, like, they find the house where it had, and they just fucking drop one of those fucking fuel bombs on it. Whoop, whoop. Just destroys the whole community. Like
the monkey runs out the back door with his yarmulke on and his little suitcase.
Snarling feces and viruses everywhere. Pressing elevator buttons desperately.
Just randomly pressing the buttons.
Oh, shit. But I will say, like, I think the tax or the fine is a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, the carrot is in place, right? The carrot is you don't get sick.
Yeah.
But maybe we need a stick.
Yeah, I know that there's a level of personal freedom that people want to have, right? People want to say, I want to be able to make the choice whether or not I'm going to do this sort of thing. But we don't allow people in this country to... I saw a great comparison, which is not drive around with brakes on, right? Like, you can't drive a car in this country without brakes. You're not allowed to do it. And there was a funny comparison, a joke comparison I saw this week where someone was saying, brakes cause a bunch of accidents and I don't trust the brakes and this sort of thing. So what I'm going to, and people have been engine braking since the very first start of, they actually didn't have brakes on cars and they use engine brakes and that was much easier and better and it was better for the whole system. And that's what I'm going to use. And it's a great analogy to, you know, the immune system and that sort of thing. Like, this is what we used to do. And so I think that it's okay. We don't allow people to do that. We don't allow people to travel at excessive speeds on highways without some sort of penalty. We don't allow people to be dangerous, right? We don't allow people to be dangerous in public if we can avoid that sort of thing because to other people, right? It's okay to do it to yourself. You want to go fucking play parkour and bounce your fucking head off the sidewalk. You know, that's your fucking head, bro. Go, you know, jump out of the dumpster, whatever you were doing, and go bounce your face off the sidewalk. Nobody cares. But the moment somebody else is involved, now we've got to start thinking about it as public policy. You can't look at it as it's my own personal freedom. You have to look at it as saying my own personal freedoms can drastically affect many other people who don't have the opportunity to get vaccines yet, who are too young to get vaccines, or who may never be able to have vaccines because their immune system won't let them. Those people are vulnerable. You can't just allow yourself to go out into the world and spread this disease to people who could really be affected negatively by it.
Well, it's, you know, the thing is, like, when you're part of a society, we have to agree on a certain set of rules as a society. So there's always a balance, right? There's always a tension. I know we've talked about tension before. There's always a tension between personal freedom and social responsibilities. And this is one of those areas where a certain group of people falls into the camp where they feel that, you know, vaccines are medical decisions and all medical decisions are personal decisions. And so they can't be regulated by, you know, the social contract, so to speak. They don't fall into the realm of social responsibility. But, you know, uniquely among other medical decisions that you'll make in your life, this is one that directly impacts the health and safety of the people around you. And as a result, I think it's entirely reasonable for the social contract to apply, for social responsibility to take precedence over personal freedom. And this isn't a scenario where, you know, you're giving up any liberty in order to do this. You're giving up, I mean, you're getting stuck by a needle and then you walk away and that's it. Like, there's nothing, there's like no second step to this transaction, right? It's not like anybody is being like, yeah, well, I mean, you got to get this fucking microchip implanted in your face.
Right,
and
right.
We get to tell, you know, where you're going and like how long you have intercourse and in what position, right? Yeah. Like, it's not terribly invasive. It's like you get a fucking tangible medical benefit out of it. And then society gets to reap the rewards of that immunity that's offered to the group. And if you shun that, then to me, you break the social contract. And when you break any social contract, there's penalties. There's sometimes very light penalties like traffic tickets, and there's sometimes very steep penalties. And I think that a tax or a fine is an entirely reasonable way to do this. I actually think that one of the things that they could do is to not allow you to claim the tax exemption for your child if you refuse to get them exempt. You
know, I think that's a good idea, sure.
You know, like, okay, yeah. Great. I mean, you didn't get them fucking vaccinated. That's fine. But, you know, you're not going to get to claim them as a dependent on your taxes, on your income tax.
Yeah, that's even worse than the $10,000. I think that because that would be every year. Every year they're not vaccinated, you don't get to claim them.
Right.
That's a good way to do it. Although I'll never get any traction anywhere because that would never pass. But that would be a way in which to get the people who have kids that aren't vaccinated if you can't prove that they don't have a medical exemption.
Yeah. And I also think that you should not. I mean, there should be no exceptions when it comes to enrolling your kids in school. There should be zero exceptions to enroll. Because now you've said, not only am I not going to vaccinate my kids, but then I also want to expose, I intentionally want to bring my child into a high density population area.
Right.
And expose your kids. And then subsequently the adults and other people that your kids come into contact
with.
Sure,
it'd be like, yeah, I mean, you got to homeschool your kids if they're fucking
right.
not vaccinated. Yeah?
Yeah, you don't have access to the public education system because you've broken the social contract.
Marriage is what brings us together today. Marriage, that blessed arrangement. That dream within a dream.
So this story comes from thinkprogress.org. Christian group fires woman for not making efforts to reconcile her marriage. And now she can't sue. This is super weird. So there was a woman who was working for the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, which is an evangelical Christian organization. And she had a falling out with her husband, and she told her supervisors or her superiors or whatever, and she was working as a spiritual director, that her marriage was, you know, having problems. And so she took a leave of absence from work in order to work on her marriage. And then her fucking bosses decided she didn't work hard enough on it.
Yeah.
So they fired her.
Well, it gets even worse because other people in that office were divorced too, right? So
right.
She's getting a divorce and then she gets fired for it because she didn't fix her fucking problems, her marriage. And then you find out later that in the same fucking office, like two other dudes had gotten divorces. But that's
they were dudes.
That's the problem is like how can you look at this religion then, you know, at this Christian religion and not say it's completely sexist? I mean, it's so sexist. Look at all the ways in which it is sexist. And, you know, you look at how women are slut shamed and then how they're, you know, attacked for having, you know, sex out of wedlock and how they're treated. They never talk about guys. That's never talked about. It's never
right.
talked about how guys, they got to have sex with somebody, you know. It's not like
right.
they're just running around being like, oh, well, there's no, clearly no dudes want to fuck me. So, hey, can you strap this thing on? Like, there's dudes banging women, but you never talk about the dudes. And
right.
then, you know, you shame the women for having the baby when it's fucking clearly that it's not like fucking you flip a coin when you have sex and the guy has the baby on occasion. It's always the woman. So she's the one who has to have that burden all the time of possibly getting pregnant. And then this particular thing when they seem to get on women about, you know, what is it, her fault that her marriage fell apart? It's suddenly her fucking fault and she's the one who's to blame and she's the one who's bad in this case, not worthy to have this job anymore.
Yeah, well, you know, and the crazy thing is that the courts have upheld the decision, right? So what the courts have said is that religious entities have control over who they hire and fire as long as that person is classified as a minister.
Right,
and
as long
a
as
later
they have a
decision
yeah.
Went on to broaden that classification by not defining what constitutes ministry. And that allows for religious groups to just fucking make it up as they go.
Yeah.
So they can basically say like, oh, yeah, you work for, you know, a religious organization, you know, and because you work for a religious organization, we don't have to follow any of the rest of the rules of polite society. Like in all of the rest of the rules of polite society, you couldn't get away with this shit. Not for a fucking second could you get away with this shit. But if you know, are working for some bullshit religious organization, they can just fucking reorganize how they classify people in any fucking willy-nilly bullshit way they decide. And then you, as an employee of that organization, you have less rights. You have less protections. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And all these religious exemptions to all these laws. Like, we go through all these fucking unbelievable machinations in order to get laws passed in this country. And we get certain laws passed to protect people from, you know, discrimination by their employers, from discrimination in terms of refusals of services. We go through and we fight tooth and nail to get any little goddamn thing accomplished. It's so hard to get anything accomplished. And then it's just this fucking not it clause for religious organizations where they just get to be like, well, here's the thing. We'd really like to be horrible.
Yeah.
And, I know you passed a law saying stop being horrible.
And the worst part is like they're still like they're tax exempt, too. So right. Not only are they fucking being able to just be like fucking fire people willy nilly when they want to, when they want to shame them, they also get an opportunity to be horrible. There's another part of this story, too, where they're talking about like how two former employees in Catholic parishes and I'm going to read directly from this article. This is from Think Progress. It says two former employees of Catholic parishes, one in Illinois and one in Missouri, are both suing their employers after they were fired for being publicly gay. In both cases, the ex-employees claim the church community and church officials were aware of their homosexual relationship for years, but let them go once they were public about it.
Right.
What the fuck?
You know, and part of me thinks that what's really going on there is that the local authorities don't give a shit, right? So you've got somebody who's in a position, the fucking church organist or the whatever, and you know, nobody cares. Everybody loves them. They're part of the community. They and everybody has recognized, or at least the good, reasonable, non-bigoted asshole people in the world have at this point recognized that somebody's sexuality has no bearing and no meaning and no relationship to whether or not they're a good and decent human being. And so they become entrenched in this community and into this culture and into this church. And everybody locally accepts them and welcomes them, and it's fine. And then something happens, something triggers, and it moves up the fucking food chain within the organization. And all of a sudden, they can't kind of keep this within the church, within the family, within the community anymore. And now their fucking hand is forced, and they're forced to take the fucking extremist bigoted position of Mother Church or, you know, whatever the larger organizational body has decreed. And that's clearly in violation of, I mean, in these cases that you cited from the article, it's clearly in violation of what everybody on the ground wants. Like the grassroots, the on the ground people, just, they don't give a shit. They just don't give a shit. But it's like, well, we listen, if you could just be gay quieter.
Yeah.
If you could just be a woman quieter.
Because there's nothing but death and refuse in the rectum. No life can come out of the rectum. The rectum is designed to get rid of death and waste. It's designed for that one purpose. And the sodomites are cheering on and praising the rectum.
Oh, fucking Pat Robertson. Love you, this guy, so much.
This guy is amazing.
It's from the Raw story. I never want Pat to die. I seriously, like, I love this man. I would where does he live? Do you know?
I'm not sure.
I would attend his funeral.
You know what?
I love this
That
guy.
Would be hilarious.
I feel like I owe this man a debt of gratitude.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way.
Honestly, the laughs I have gotten from this guy.
I know.
I have laughed harder because of Pat Robertson than some of my very closest friends.
Yeah. Well, Pat here, it's the headline is Pat Robertson, teens look at gay magazines because they were molested or attacked by gays. There's really nothing else to do except for play this. So let me play this for you. This is from the 700 Club.
This first one comes from John Pat, who says, I found a gay magazine in my son's room. What should I do?
Well, I think you ought to talk to him about sexuality. The chances are your son is not gay, but somebody gave him a book about it. And, you know, a lot of these so-called gay people have been either attacked by, molested by some, you know, authority figure, or else a magazine or something has confused them.
Yeah, because I...
When I got the gay magazine,
when I got the gay pamphlet, I immediately reconsidered my decision to be a heterosexual.
Dude, like, I gotta tell you something, Cecil. I've been confused in my life.
Yeah.
But my dick has never been confused.
Think about the gay pamphlet is that it's a pop-up pamphlet. So.
It's not like you get a fucking, like you just get a pamphlet and it's like you open it up and it's like, have you considered the gay?
Yeah.
And you're like,
You know, I hadn't considered the gay.
Man, as it turns out, I am attracted to a different gender than I thought I was fucking attracted to.
Whole time I've been fooling myself with
this. Oh, why didn't I? Or, like, I love the idea that you're less attacked by some authority figure, and then that makes you, like, you're like, oh, God, I fucking just got, like, raped by a cop.
Well, that's
I'm super gay now.
Yeah, that's why I've turned into a dog. So,
right?
Yeah.
What
it's
is that
like,
even?
It's like gay lycanthropy or whatever. Like you're attacked by a gay person, you immediately become like a gay werewolf or whatever.
That's how furries start. Yeah. That's it. That's the genesis.
It is the genesis.
You get attacked by a dog. Next thing you know, you're fucking at a convention in Baltimore dressed as a chipmunk
with a flap.
You need to talk to him about what things are and who he is and what he is and let him grow up and find out. But don't let him be exposed to a bunch of pornographic magazines, because a gay magazine is filled with naked pictures of naked men doing sex with each other.
Oh, those guys doing the sex with each other.
He talks like such an old man. It's the best.
Were they, doing the sex? What were you doing in there? Are you doing the sex?
No, Dad. Leave me alone. Don't come in.
Are you doing the masturbation?
I don't know what to do with my son. He's doing the sex. He's doing the masturbating. He's hopped up on goofballs.
He's smoking the reefers.
That's what's in there. So you don't want him to read that stuff.
No one's reading it, Pat.
No, Pat reads it for the article.
I'm looking at gay magazines. I'm looking at this gay porno for the articles. That's
I'm reading the. I love that's all. Nobody reads that shit.
Whatever, whether it's men and women or men and men or women and women, it doesn't matter. You don't want to even be seeing that. All right, whatever.
How many kids I got?
What's going on? Are they doing the sex in there?
What is he even saying, though? He's saying you got to talk to. What are you going to say to your son?
What are you going to tell him to stop looking at gay magazines and be straight?
Like, that's what you're going to say. I remember, this is a story about my brother I don't like, so I don't care. I could tell it. My brother, when he was a kid, he's like he's like late teens, right? And my dad, I don't know why, like, looked in his drawer, just looking around. I don't know what he's looking for. You know, maybe he was my dad wasn't the type to, like, toss our drawers out to, like, look for porn or something for us. Because, like, my dad didn't care that I had, like, Playboy models pictures on the walls. Like, I had Playboy centerfolds on my walls when I was, like, 17. Like, he didn't mind at all. He's like, whatever, you're a fucking boy, you know, whatever. He didn't care. It didn't bother him. So I know he wasn't that type, but I just remember like him coming across like a picture that my brother drew. It was awful too, by the way. It was a terrible picture. And it was a girl with a strap on fucking another girl. But it was awful. Like it was like it's like drawn by Mrs. Larson's fifth grade class.
Right. It's like
ever.
Stick figures. Like,
it might as well have been like pasta art. You know what I mean? Like it was terrible. And
it's
I remember my dad
shitty diorama. Yeah.
My dad, I remember finding it, and I was privy to the conversation somehow. I don't even remember how any of this went down, but I remember the reaction of my dad was like, oh my gosh, is he gay? Like, the first thing he said, I'm like, no, he's clearly not gay. Like, that's not a thing that's not a thing that a gay person would like. You know, it's not a thing I think my dad was into, but it's not a thing that a gay person would be. I don't think so, anyway. That's something that I think.
Not something a gay boy would be into.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a gay girl, but not a gay boy.
Right? It's so funny because it's like these people with no understanding of human sexuality whatsoever and no appreciation for the spectrum that sexuality falls within and the fluidity of sexuality. They don't get it. Like they have their ability to navigate this world is so limited, and then they're just like, I don't let them do the sex. Like they have no they can't even articulate properly a plan of action to even approach somebody who has sexual feelings that they flat out don't understand and will just fucking never understand. Like, Pat Robertson, it's not like he's going to have a fucking sexual awakening, you know?
Yeah.
At this point, he's lucky he awakes. This is it. This is the whole nine yards. So, like, and like, what would you talk to your kid about? Like, hey, have you ever been attacked by an authority figure? Is that why you're gay?
How?
Because you can tell me if you were attacked by it. Like, did your principal beat you? Is that why you're looking at gay magazines?
Right, yeah.
No, because that's not a thing that happens, huh? I mean, wouldn't you be humiliated by your teenage son or daughter when they're like, Dad, you're fucking retarded. You realize that? Like, how would this conversation go?
I can't imagine having that. That is the most uncomfortable conversation to have. Because, you know, this is a father if you believe that this is a real thing, right? This
yeah,
is
right.
clear.
If you believe the letter.
You have to believe that this letter actually was sent. And it may or may not have been sent at all. It might have just been a fucking, it's an intern at the station making shit up. I mean, how do
sure,
I know?
Right,
you know?
Right.
But you've got to think, here's a guy who has no idea what he's doing as a parent. If Pat Robertson is the first guy you go to for advice on sexuality.
I mean, there's a level of straight desperation.
Yeah.
Right? Where you're just like, you find that magazine, like, oh my God, what do I do? What do I do? No, I gotta write an email to Pat Robertson.
Yeah. The only reason
sit and watch the 700 Club, like, will he address my letter?
Yeah.
Because I have not parented yet.
Okay, I think what you're saying though is the only reason why someone would possibly do that over talking to anybody is because they're so unbelievably embarrassed by the situation
right.
that they want to remain anonymous.
And what advice do you think they were hoping for? Because that's the other thing is, like, when you write in for advice, I think a lot of times you're hoping to be validated rather than to be actually given any actual advice. I think that's often the case.
Sure.
Like, what advice was he hoping for? Like, Pat Robertson would be like, oh, what you got to do is make him Brussels sprouts, then he won't be gay.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's no
quick fix for this.
Right?
Yeah. And either that or Pat Roberts, he was probably hoping that Pat Roberts would say, don't worry about it, he'll grow out of it. I think that's probably the hope.
Yeah.
Because this is a guy who I don't think wants to deal with it. If this is
it
how
would be
he
something
handles
you just
the,
be like, yeah, we got to talk about this. Yeah. And then you just begin a dialogue. Right? Like, this, it's not even a hard thing to do. You're just like, we should talk. We should have an open dialogue about this.
Yeah.
And then you sit down and have a fucking conversation, one human to another.
And the problem here is that, you know, while I don't think the dialogue's a bad thing to say, hey, you know, what's going on? I found this gay magazine, and to try to figure that out. But the problem, I think, is that inherently in the conversation, you could feel that it's a negative thing. Not
right.
only does Pat know it's a negative thing, because Pat's making shit up about why it even happens, but Pat is also, you could tell he's saying that it's bad and you should talk to him because you want to sort of get him off of it. You want to, you found his fucking meth pipe and you want to take him to rehab.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is turning into quite the Pat Robertson episode, because this also comes from Right Wing Watch. Pat Robertson, snow in Boston disproves climate change.
This is short. It's only 34 seconds. Let's
sure,
just play
I'm sure
with
it's going to be awesome.
It's, you know, in 34 seconds, I'm sure he's going to debunk mountains and mountains worth of scientific data. So here we go.
A climate expert, you know, has come out and said that they have actually manipulated the figures to try to prove global warming. And guess what? The president goes he goes in an interview with the Vox, whatever that is, and said, our real challenge is not ISIS, it's not terrorists, it is global warming. Go to Boston, Mr. President.
Yeah. Wow.
Right.
Wow. You know there's people like, yeah, it did snow in Boston in the winter.
That's constant. I hear that all the time, man.
I mean, you hear it, but you just want to... It's the same problem to me as the people who are like, yeah, well, if evolution's true, then why is there monkeys? And
right.
you're just like, that's not, no, you're not, that argument doesn't, I don't even know where to begin with that stuff. Because it's like, no one's making that argument. No one's saying that because of global warming, there won't be snow anymore.
Yeah.
No one is, I didn't read that article. No more snow. How about, like, unstable growing intensity of storms. You know, like, I mean, that's the conversations people are having.
Right. I went to recently, I saw a whole big bunch of data that NASA's collected that just, there's a big long page. If you want global warming facts, it's a huge long page, but NASA's collected that says, guys, this is some shit you got to pay attention to. National Geographic recently just released a thing that said that a ton, like a bunch of people, more than, and I want to say it was 99% as climate scientists. And then there was a level of, I want to say it was like 85% of other scientists, just not people that are in this field, but like, you know, people that aren't climate scientists, an overwhelming majority all think that climate change is real. They all think it's real. Where, you know, and look, if you can prove it's not real, if you can show it's not real, that's a big deal. It's a big deal. But the problem is that there's just no peer-reviewed shit out there that really shows that. You know, what you get is people from other fields who are not climate scientists, who come out and be like that fucking Newt Gingrich, like, I'm a fucking amateur paleontologist or whatever. And then he comes out with some,
I'm an amateur rocket Scientologist.
You know, like that guy, he's going to say some crazy shit and it's not going to make any sense. And then you're going to, but the thing is people just don't want to hear it.
Right.
You know, it's a scary thing. It's not a fucking, it's not a, like a thing that you can just wave away and say, ah, come on, that's nothing. Like, there's some serious predictions for some crazy shit to happen within the next 50 years. Some shit that is, like, life-changing for many, many, many people on the globe. And but when I mean to say life-changing, I mean to say life-ending in some ways.
Right.
There's some really bad shit. Now, we can't... models are models. So sometimes those models don't go through. And, you know, that's just that's the way it is. So you got it. But I think that planning for the worst is not a bad call when it comes to climate change. I don't think that, you know, moving yourself towards fucking wind power and solar power and water power and that sort of thing is a bad call. I think, you know, going towards those things is the way you're going to have to handle the future. We're eventually going to run out of oil anyway. You know what I mean? Like, fucking, that's not going to last forever.
Yeah. You know, I actually find it, and this is going to sound maybe a little crazy, I actually find it somewhat distressing that gas has gotten so cheap again, because it's, you know, I was listening to something on NPR the other day that, you know, gas has gotten cheap, and so now all of a sudden there's like a spike again in the sale of SUVs and large trucks, and it's like, we are such a short-sighted people.
I know, yeah.
Like, we are so short-sighted. It's like, gas is cheap for fucking 20 minutes. Let's buy a fucking locomotive. It's like, what are you talking about?
Choo choo, motherfucker!
Yes, I'm poor as fucking 5W30 for my homies. You
everybody's
know,
everybody's like, driving around in like fucking the dirtiest buses that they like spewing shit. Like actual like small particles of metal are coming out at a certain point. They're just like, fuck, I don't even care. Like,
I've gone out of my way to find leaded gasoline. Yeah. That's right. No one even uses it anymore. I don't give a shit.
It's like it's $1 a gallon. Like everybody's got like tugboats that they're just belching fucking garbage into the air.
I just leave my car idling all the time because America, you know, like, oh my God. You know what I hear too, Cecil? I don't know if you've heard this, but I've heard this recently. Like, people will say, you know, like, ah, they don't even know what the weather's going to be next week with any accuracy. How do they know that the fucking climate in 100 years? And it's just like, you don't understand. They're not saying, like, 100 years from now, it's going to rain and be 73.
Yeah.
Like, that's not, no one is saying that. Like, these are long range trends. These are long range predictions.
Right.
Like, we can predict very accurately that winter will happen, right?
Yeah.
Like, we don't know necessarily with any accuracy in a long range forecast what winter next year will look like. But we know for certain that winter will arrive next year.
Sure.
Right? Because we can predict trends in but there's this idea that, like, because we don't know how much it's going to rain next Wednesday, that somehow invalidates the entirety of climate science. And you're like, it's not meteorology.
Yeah. And they're not picking out something major. What they're saying is, they're saying the temperature is going up. Here's the models that show it's gone up, and it's spiked very recently in the recent past. It's gone up and up and up and up and up. Okay, Where's it going in the future? If we follow these trends, we can see it's going to keep going up. Because, I mean, like, why wouldn't it keep going up? It's going to keep going. I mean, and you know, the thing is, like, even if it levels out relatively soon, we still could be in some serious problems. It's gone up so much that you could be in some serious trouble in several years. If it, even if the growth slows, it could be, it could still be a problem. And there are things that are going to be some serious problems. Acidification of the ocean, huge problem. You know, the death of some of coral reefs because of temperature changes and acidification is huge. There's some really serious, serious problems on the horizon if people don't play it safe. And, you know, the thing is, I've got about, at best, I've got about 40, 45 years left. At best. So right. I'm out, man. I'm fucking checked out at a certain point. It's like, yeah, I'm gone. I'm going to do my very best to be a steward for future generations. But man, that shit's on the people who have had kids and who are going to try to push forward for a new generation. You guys got to look at your kids and be like, you know what? Should I fucking buy this locomotive? You know? All right, so that's going to wrap it up for this week. It's our hope to be on Incredulous this week. We'll let you know when that comes out. There's going to be an Incredulous show with us on it. We're looking forward to doing it. Scathing Atheist is going to join in, so it should be a really good Incredulous show. When they publish it sometime in July, we'll let people know when that happens. But we're looking forward to it. It's going to be recorded this upcoming Sunday, so we're anxious to do it, and we're happy to be on Andy's show because we really like Andy, and it'll be fun to be on with Noah and Heath too. That'll be a good time. So we'll let you know when that comes out. But we're going to leave you as we always do with the Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo quasi alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy healing, water downward spiral, brain dead pan, sales pitch, late night info docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your sides. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and views expressed in this show are that of the hosts only. Our poorly formed and expressed notions do not represent those of our wives, employers, friends, families, or of the local dairy council.